Good evening. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, and dear Father, we want to humble ourselves and ask you to meet with us in this place tonight. God, we know this is just a building of brick and mortar and sheetrock and carpet, but God, your church has met here tonight to meet with you and to hear from you, and God, I pray that that might happen. God, that they might not hear the voice of the preacher, but they might hear the voice of you tonight and believe it and act upon it. And I pray for those that are not able to be here tonight that you might be with them, but bless the reading and preaching of your word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all. Stand, turn to page 564. We'll sing 1, 4, and 5 of this one tonight. He keeps me singing. Page 564.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispered sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in a world of ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, tips all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Last, soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall bring my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Thank you. May be seated. Turn back to page 150. Page 150 tonight. And this is one of my favorite songs. We'll sing all four verses of this one tonight. Page 150. This world is not my home.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake and say, here's now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. On the last, just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Well, several announcements right after the service tonight. I need to have a VBS meeting, and I need your help. Everybody, I hope you won't stay away. It's for kids. No, it's for kids. It's for everybody. And we need your help. And so please stay and sign up. We need your help. Then Wednesday night, Bible preaching and prayer at 7. And then Thursday, all-out blitz, really canvassing. We're going to go, not really hand out flyers, but we're going to look for kids, find areas for kids, sign up kids. That'll be starting at 6 o'clock on Thursday night. Then Saturday, we will go out, we'll canvass, and we will hand out more flyers. So come and go with us. Then Sunday is a kickoff Sunday. And the morning, I have regular services. Then Sunday night, we'll kind of turn it over to the guys and let them do that. We will have the penny offering next Sunday night. And I hope you'll take part, help us give. The Bible says that what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? And you can't put money on the price of a soul. So I hope you'll get involved and help us give to the penny offering. It's not just so this person can win or this person win. It's to pay the expenses of the VBS. And the rest of it's on here. Hope you can stay tonight. We'll talk more about that. So let's all stand, have a time of fellowship, then we'll take the offering tonight. Thank you. might find your place tonight. All right. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And don't look at all the people still coming up to the choir, okay? Don't embarrass them, Sadie. Don't look over here at Sadie. Don't look at her. Don't look at anybody else. All right. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Glory, we ask the Lord to bless the offering, sir. Man, you may be seated. That'll be a prayer of ours. Revive us again. Let's all stand one more time. Turn to page number 40, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and we'll sing all three verses of this one tonight. Page number 40.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Lift up on the last. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Thank you. You may be seated.
His robes for mine, O wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting love, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine. Saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He as though I, accursed and left alone. I as though he embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone.
Amen. Christ alone. Amen. All right. Well, I got a lot of people all told me about my message this morning. Not necessarily that it was good, but it brought back memories. And Brother Myers, he watches, and he's got a garage full of antiques. And you know, and I was going to bring one, I couldn't find it, but a lunchbox, a metal lunchbox with a little thermos in it, you know. I mean, just my mind ran rampant thinking, what can I bring that your cell phone, you know, would have? And Brother Joel gave me this. And a smartphone cost 30 years ago. So what you have in your hand, how much would it cost 30 years ago? If you had to buy a mobile phone back in 1985, it would be $9,000. Fax machine would be $1,105. A GPS would be $6,000. Tape player, $110. A Sony disc player would be $400. Encyclopedia, the whole set would be $2,000. A radio would be $640. The Nintendo system would be $440. The mini color TV would be $665. The video camera would be $3,745. The video player would be $1,000. And then the video conferencing would cost $110,520. But the big thing would be the processing power. The computer it would take to run all that, and Joel said it would fill up half of our auditorium and would be at a cost of $32 million. That was back in 1995. If you had capability to do all that, back in 1985 would be 32 million, just the processing power, $32 million. And we wonder why our kids get in trouble. I mean, Maze, you know, the first graders come on with a cell phone, you know, and they're scrolling and sitting there watching all this animated stuff. And I remember, how many of you remember, is it Atari? The boop, 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 boop. I mean, There was nothing but two little things and a ball. No graphics, no people, just boop, boop, yeah. Boop. And the only thing exciting was you could make the little paddles bigger. You know, from here, boop, 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 boop. Man, we were big time stuff. You know, boop, 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 boop. And now you can actually almost be in the scene with the person, you know, and everything else. It's amazing. That's neither here nor there, right? No. But who doesn't change? What's two things that don't change? God and His Word. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. So, tonight, moving on to tonight's message, amen. So, what is worse, is a deed or a thought? Which one is worse? Neither? Okay, but which one would you say is, I mean, out of both of them, which is bad? The deed? How about the thought? Some of you don't care. Yeah, I don't care, preacher. Okay, the deed is something, but what comes before the deed? The thought. The thought is the father of the deed. I mean, you can do something, but you got to believe first. You got to believe in what you're going to do first before you do it. When you come up to a sign that says wet paint, is it the deed? No, it's the thought. That's not wet. Oh, yes, it was. You know, it was stupid. It's the thought. Hey, I think I can do this. How do people get us to do bad things and to get into trouble by what they say? Hey, you sign up and, you know, if you want to know anything about computers, ask your children, right? Yeah. So I asked my son, I said, hey, these FedEx is texting me or emailing me and they want me to do this. And he said, duh, Dad, don't you know that's a scam? And I'm like, I didn't know. Well, duh, Dad, don't you know? And he knew. He's like, Dad, don't do that. That's a scam. And my daughter, Leah, does that all the time. Dad, that's a scam. Don't do that. Don't punch the button. Don't tell them, you know, because they're lying to you. So the thought is the father, the seed that germinates into an action. And that's why Tim LaHaye years ago put out a book says, The Battle for the Mind. The battle for the mind. And what you listen to, what you hear, but most of all, what do you believe? What do you believe? That's how we live our lives. I really don't think this is going to hurt me. I really don't think, I think I'm going to be okay. When I was, you know, Hannah was, I think, 10 or 11, and we were going to go ride the Patter Keg. And so we were walking, and there was this, and she goes, Daddy, I don't know. I said, Hannah, you'll be fine. You'll love it. And so we met an employer, and I said, hey, you think she would have fun on the Patter Keg? Oh, yeah. Oh, she'll love it. I have a kid about that late. She'll love it. And so we get it. We get in line and we get on the Patter Keg. She's all fine. Then you know it goes out and it goes up, doot, 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 doot. And then it goes doot, 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 doot. There's a little stoplight, red, yellow, green. And from the time it hit green, she started screaming. You go 60 miles an hour up and around. She's going ah, and she gets off and she says, Dad, I'm never going to do that again. And she loved, today she loved roller coasters. But somebody convinced her, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. I've got a daughter your age. Hey, you'll love it. She didn't love it. She hated it. But listening to somebody, you got to discern the truth. So if you can find John chapter 8 and stand in reverence and love of God's word, I want to start here tonight, John chapter number 8. Who's the father of all lies? The devil. Okay, John chapter 8, verse number 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a what? Murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a what? Liar and the father of it. His goal is to absolutely destroy your life. And his method? Lies. Not telling you the truth. And that's what I want to preach tonight on some lies the devil has got us believing. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you. Thank you for tonight. God, I pray that you might work and move in hearts and lives, and bless the reading and preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, God, he wants to steal your happiness, your joy, your purity, your potential, your influence. Satan's out to wreck and ruin your life. And he can't make you do anything, so he wants you to think. He wants you to believe him instead of believing God. If we would just take this Bible and believe it as it says, we would be okay. But we start believing everything and everybody else, and it begins to cast a doubt. Oh, does God really mean that? So every lie, most lies have a little bit of truth in them. Is it worse to be 15 minutes late for something or 2 hours late? Let's say your watch is 2 hours off. That's pretty bad. But if it's 15 minutes off, that's worse. You could miss your plane. You could miss your appointment. If you, we go to Texas Roadhouse once a year. We go to Texas Roadhouse, and if you sign up, it says you have to be here 15, if they say, all right, your table's ready, and you have to be here 15 minutes after that. If not, they'll cancel your table. So if your watch is 16 minutes late, and you're like, man, I'm running on time, you get up there, and they say, sir, your reservation was 7:30. Well, my watch says, and it's 7:45. Well, my watch says it's 7:29. I'm good. Only missed it by 16 minutes. And Satan likes to make it look as real and honest and right as he can. How about a counterfeit dollar bill? Those of you that deal in counterfeits tonight, no. Any takers? No. So does a counterfeit look like the real thing? It does. It's not all yellow and orange and purple and you try to give it out. No. That counterfeit looks just like the real thing. And when my wife goes, you know, they check it here and they mark on it. And they do that to everybody. But I'm telling you, a counterfeit is dangerous because it looks just like the real thing. So Satan wants you to believe. Look in John chapter 8. Go back to John chapter 3. Is there anything you can do to go to hell? Any sin that you could commit, like murder is there any sin like that that'll send you to hell? Unbelief. Unbelief's the only sin that'll send you to hell. Everything else, every sin that a human being can commit, God forgives. But He cannot forgive unbelief. John chapter 3 and verse 16, you all know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not a member of a Baptist church. Because he doesn't have the Baptist haircut. No, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God can forgive. But if a person does not place their faith and trust in the Jesus of this Bible, Jesus can't, I'll forgive you. He can't forgive you of that. That's the way you're saved. Look in John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, it's not, well, that person's a really, really bad sinner. Guess what? We're all really, really bad sinners. If you're not, come up and preach this message. Amen. Hey, we sin. We have a sinful nature. We live in this sinful body. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. But it doesn't say because you're a bad person. It says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So unbelief will send us to hell. But you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. There's nothing that you can do to go to hell. So it's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem with religion today, just believe in God and you can go to heaven. No, you must believe in the Jesus of this Bible. Look in Romans chapter number 10. Most of you know this, Romans chapter 10. And the Bible says here in Romans chapter 10, in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead by God the Father. Is that two or one? I mean, there's two mentioned in there, but it's one God, of course. But you have to believe. Well, I believe in a God. I believe in a God. Well, who is that God? What did that God do? You got to believe, place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in the Jesus of this Bible. The Father sent His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, to die for our sins. So, in Acts 16:31, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So I want to look at four lies tonight that Satan wants us to believe and our concept about God. I mean, all lies are bad, but the biggest issue is your concept of God. Who is God? Who do I place my faith and trust in? Those going to hell do not believe in the Jesus of this Bible. They have not placed their faith and trust in the Jesus of this Bible. So Satan is after to us to get us to have a wrong concept of God. Look at, and that's what he did with Adam and Eve. Look at Genesis chapter number 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." You notice what God said and what Satan said were opposite. That's the way it usually is. Well, I'm okay. Well, I can get to heaven some other way than Jesus Christ. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what your Bible says. Well, the Bible's not inspired. God said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So, four lies, real quick. Number one, God is not loving. God doesn't love you. In 3:1, he said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Look what God's done. He's not allowing you to enjoy. He's a killjoy. He wants to make your life miserable. He said you're not to eat of all the trees. Look back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden now mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So how many trees did God say they weren't supposed to eat from? How many trees did God say you can eat? All of them. All of them. Satan wants you to have a negative attitude and a negative concept of God. He doesn't want me to enjoy myself. He's just trying to kill my joy. He doesn't want me to be happy. That's not my God. My God loves you. My God wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to walk this road of life with you. But there's some things that he says, hey, don't do that and don't go down that road and don't have that attitude and don't have that spirit. Because he's a killjoy? No. But the lie of the devil, God is not loving. And this society wants you to think bad about authority. How about that policeman? When he pulls you over, what do you say? He was out there looking for me. He was waiting for me to come along. He didn't know that was you. Well, some people he did. Anyway, you know, but he doesn't know. He's out there to uphold the law. And beyond popular belief, policemen, I don't know what the percentage is, 90% of policemen are good. They're not out to kill you just because you look that way. They want to help you. They're there to protect you. I'm glad there is a 911 on my phone. I'm glad I can say, 911, help me, what's your emergency? Someone is in my house, they got a gun, they're going to kill me. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Bing. RJ's back there, and he's always saying, you know, suicide prevention hotline, how may I help you? Well, I got this. You're next, you're number 344 in the queue. Da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. But the policemen out there, they're to help you. Well, my parents said, I can't do this, 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 and this. They're just so mean. They don't love me at all. Really? They love you the most. Yeah, but they say they don't want me to do this and this and this, probably because they love you. Well, they've set boundaries. Uh-huh. We've set boundaries for our dogs. Why? Because in Beeville, before I got married, I had a dog. His name was Bear. And we kept him in the yard and everything. Well, he got out one day. We lived on Highway 59, and guess what? He got hit by a car. And we couldn't pay to have him fixed, so we had to put him down. But if he would have stayed in the yard, in the boundaries, he would have been fine. Guess what? We did feed him every day. And we petted him and we tried to give him nourishment and protection. And if he stayed in that, but hey, I want to go out. I don't want to stay in this little fence yard. I want to go out and enjoy freedom. Got himself hit. So God loves you. Look at Psalm 37, verse number 4. Just look at a few of these real quick. Psalm 37 here and verse number 4. Psalm 37 in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Look at Psalms 84 and verse number 11. Psalm 84 and verse number 11. The Bible says, for the Lord is a shield, a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says here, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us all things to enjoy. Well, you know, I had a really strict mama, and she told me not to run with a pencil in my hand. She was mean. She was harsh. I mean, we wanted to run. We wanted to have fun, be cowboys and Indians and sword fighters with pencils. Well, she was scared to death that I'd get lead poisoning. It wasn't because she wanted to kill the joy. She wanted her lovely son to live. It's a good thing. Anyway, but she cared about us. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 12. And look in verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure a chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily for a few days chasten us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holies. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. We all can say amen to that. My dad used to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. That hurt. But he was trying to help me. And the Bible says, but nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God loves us. He's not a killjoy. The devil was saying, God doesn't love you. He's trying to keep something good from you. He has said it, and Eve corrected him. No, we can eat of the trees. It says in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God loves us. And he wants, and don't get the lie, God doesn't love me. No, for God so loved the world. God loves you. Number two, God's not truthful. God's not truthful. Look what he says. Doubt turns to denial. Look here. Verse 3, she said, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. He had put doubt, yea, hath God said, but then verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Liar, liar, pants on fire. God's lying to you. God, you're not going to die. Everything's fine. I'm telling you, folks, anybody that will put a doubt on this book, you got to stay away from. Anybody who say, well, it's not really preserved. It's not really a holy book. It's not really infallible. It's really not correct. You know, there's some mistakes in it. You better go the other way. Because Satan said, God's lying to you. He's not truthful. He's the one that's a liar. But he said, ye shall not surely die. Oh, well, I know what the Bible says, but... No. What does the Bible say? You know, we ought to teach our kids, hey, you shouldn't do that, because mom and dad told you not to. No, because that's what the Bible says. Show you. Everybody's a sinner. Unless you accept Christ as your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. That's the facts. Oh, well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. God's a loving God. God's a loving God. But the truth of God's Word. There's several things about this. Some people believe in there's no fixed truth. There's no absolute standard for right and wrong. There's no absolute standard for right and wrong in our minds. But is there an absolute standard for right and wrong? Come on, is there? It's the Bible. This is the absolute perfect standard of right and wrong. You and I may argue, no. There's no standard, but there is a standard, the Word of God. And then others say, well, truth is subjective. Objective truth is fact. I mean, 2 + 2 = 4, that's objective. And in a math test, 2 + 2 = 5, and the teacher goes like that, and you say, I just feel like it's 5. I'm sorry, I don't care how you feel, that's not the answer. And we can go today, oh, well, it's whatever you feel. It's not whatever you feel, it's what God hath said. Well, there, some people say there's nothing that you could be absolutely sure of. Death and taxes, right? Death, heaven or hell. Absolutely. Some people say, well, it's on the logic side. Well, it's got to make sense. Did God say, all right, Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because he said don't do it. And I've never been of, well, tell your kids, no, you can't do that, but explain the logic behind it. Really? You can tell a 2-year-old, don't run out there in the street because they're not going to understand that. And logic, what is, if God said to you, well, it's got to make sense. Then there's, well, that may be good for you, but it doesn't apply to me. Should your preacher tithe? Yes or no? Should your preacher read his Bible? Should a preacher beat his kids? I almost got you, yes. No. Okay, is that just good for me and not good for you? Should your pastor go out and knock doors? Should your pastor be a soul winner? Should your pastor be above board in his dealings with others as far as his bills? Okay, so is that just for the pastor? Well, I think the pastor ought to do this. I think, whoa. It's not just for, if it's in here, it's not just for me, it's for you. And I've had people say, well, it's good for you, but not good for me, or it may be right for me, but not for, no. God's Word is God's Word. Why was it wrong? Because she told him. She said, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Hey, God said this, and that's what we ought to go on. Did God say it or not? So the lies. He's not truthful. Number 3, God's not righteous. There's no penalty. Look down here. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. In fact, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There's no judgment day. There's no consequences for doing wrong. You know, is there, when you and I get in our cars and we drive down the road, you can speed all you want. If you go and speed, it's against law. But do you get caught every time you speed? No. In fact, I do it more than I get caught. And when I get caught, I'm saying, well, okay, I did it this time. I should have got caught 3 other times. But yet, there is a penalty for sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Look in verse number 11. Romans chapter 14 tonight. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says here, or verse number 10, it says, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I'm not going to give, you're going to give an account for yourself to Almighty God. God is righteous. Because God is righteous, he has to judge sin. The soul of the sinner, it shall die. For the wages of sin is death. Hey, that had to be paid for. God is righteous. And when God said, hey, you eat of the fruit and you transgress the commandment of God, ye shall surely die. There's consequences. And what happened? She ate of the fruit. And they went, we didn't die. We're still here. They died spiritually. In Romans chapter 5, they all started dying physically. I'm telling you, God's word is true. God is a righteous God. Lastly, God is not loving, God is not truthful, God is not righteous, but God is not gracious. Look back in Genesis chapter 3. This is a good one. He said, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and ye shall be, what? What is it? As gods. Are we ever going to be as gods? I mean, is it ever going to be a time when, hey, we're in heaven now. Now there's no really one God that we're going to, we're all just kind of little gods. Is that the way it's going to be? No. We're going to bow down and love and serve our wonderful, loving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hey, we're not going to be all these little gods and as God. No. We're going to give all of our allegiance and loyal and love to the one and only true God. But Satan, oh, your eyes are going to be open. And you're going to be as gods. To me, that means if there's no God, then he can't tell you what to do. Just do whatever you want. You can be a God and you can legislate however you want to. Just do what you want to do instead of doing what God wants you to do. That's a pretty bad doctrine. Well, you're going to be equal with God. You know, that's what got Satan in trouble to begin with. Look in Isaiah chapter 7. Just want to point this out. This is what the whole thing, before the human race fell, Satan had already been cast out of heaven because of his attitude. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakest the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. I wonder if he ever said it out loud. Do you know God sees your heart? Well, I never said it. Did you think it? He said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He didn't say, man, I'm going to submit myself unto God Almighty. He said, I want to be just like God. I want to sit where He sits. I want to be exalted. I want to sit above the stars. I want to be as God's. So when he was cast out of heaven, he's telling Eve the same thing. Hey, God just knows he doesn't love you. He's trying to keep something from you, and he's a liar, and he's not righteous, and he's keeping from you, lording over your own self, making your own decision. He knows that if you ate that fruit, you're going to be as gods. How terrible. How terrible to be like God. Just do your own thing. But you know, God loves us. And God wants us to submit ourselves unto Him. And He does say, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That you're not God, but that He is. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man." You can't even imagine the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God's got some things prepared for us. We can't even imagine the things that God has prepared for us who will submit ourselves and say, "God, I love You and I want to serve You and You are my God. I'm not going to be like You, and yes, You love me and yes, You care about me and You're going to tell me the truth and You're a righteous God." But He's got some things planned. So don't listen to Satan's lies. When he says God doesn't love you, absolutely God loves you. "Well, look, if God loves me, why did this happen?" For your good or His glory. Does your children know everything that's good and right for their bodies? No. Most kids you have to tell to go to bed. They're not even smart enough like chickens. I mean, the chickens just go to bed when it's dark. But kids, "I want to stay up all night." No, you really need some rest. Eat your broccoli. Eat your turnips. Eat your greens. It's good for them, right? Right. Not now. But anyway, but God loves us, cares about us. Don't listen to that lie. Don't listen to the lie that God lies. I'm telling you, stay away from anybody that says, "Well, I don't know about that. I just don't know." Guess what? You may not understand every single scripture in the Word of God, but how do you know, how do you study the Word of God? How does the Bible say to study the Word of God? Compare what? Your notes with a commentary? Scripture with what? Scripture with Scripture. God will never, ever, ever contradict His Word. "Well, this verse sounds like it says that you add works to salvation." Mark 16 says, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." See, preacher, right there. It says you got to believe and you got to be baptized. But the next phrase said, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." The emphasis is not on baptism. So you may take that one scripture and build a religion on it. But do you find baptism anywhere in the Romans Road? No. You find it anywhere in John? "Well, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." No. So you may not understand one scripture, but compare it with the other scriptures that you have in the Word of God. God never contradicts Himself. He'll never lie. Never try to hide the truth. Love your Bible. This is absolutely truth. And if you're in church, I don't care who it is, a teacher, "Well, let's question. What do you think? What do you think?" I'd say, you know, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what God says. God is righteous. We serve a righteous God. And then God is gracious. We don't become as gods. We get to live with God. In fact, in heaven, the Bible says His name is going to be in our foreheads. We belong to Him. And we're not just all just gods populating our own earth. Does that sound like any religion you hear about? That you populate your own earth? I'm telling you, that's not found in the Word of God. We must surrender ourselves to a loving Heavenly Father. So don't listen to the lies. Don't let Satan get... He'll tell you maybe a little bit of truth and then, oh, and what you believe. Your beliefs are the father of your actions. And maybe something doesn't work out the first time you say, "But I still believe that. I still believe that." I've talked to people and I've given them the plan of salvation and told them, and they say, "Well, I still don't think you can know if you're saved." The Bible says you can know right now. "Well, I just don't think it's that easy. I just don't think you can just trust in Christ and go to heaven." That's what the Bible says. It's not what you think, it's what God has said. So trust in the Lord. Don't listen to Satan's lies. And there's hundreds of others. I mean, Brother Jett did a great job at camp telling Satan's lies. He's got them. So that we can think wrong and our thoughts becomes actions, then we're in trouble. Believe God. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before You tonight. Thank You so much for Your Word. God, help us not to believe anything that's not found in the Word of God. Help us to know and believe and understand that You love us. God, that You're a loving God. God, that You'll tell us the truth. You're not out to lie. You're not out to twist the truth. God, You're out to tell us the absolute truth. God, that You're righteous. God, we know You're righteous. You're faithful. You're forgiving, but You have to judge sin. God, I pray that we might realize You're gracious. You've got some things planned in heaven and things for us. But we're not going to become little gods. But we must surrender our will to You. So bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight? I don't know how God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you didn't need to come do business with the Lord tonight. Would you come?
Bless me come not, tonight. O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art called, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
Satan will continue to tell you all kinds of lies.
While on others Thou art calling,
believe the Word of God.
Do not pass me by, trusting only in Thy merit. Would I seek Thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by Thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside Thee? Whom in heaven but Thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief.
All right. Now, God's people said? All right. Well, need to deal with a situation tonight.